Hey everybody, welcome back to the Viral Music Hub podcast. My name is Lawrence, and I know it's been a while since I've been on the podcast, but I've had some things going on in the past year or so, but I'm glad to be back. Excuse my voice, I've just been getting over a flu, so I know I'm probably going to sound like crap on this episode, so please bear with me if I'm losing my voice a little bit. The reason why I come back, one, I do want to interview indie musicians again. That's something that's still very important to me. But I did want to start a series that I've been really looking forward to doing. And I wanted to do a history of Fleetwood Mac. And because I feel like Fleetwood Mac has a very rich and tragic and turbulent history behind them that not as many bands can say they have. And I think their story is very interesting to tell, so much so that the show Daisy Jones and the Six actually borrowed a lot from Fleetwood Mac's story and for their show. And I think that is a testament to how much of an impact that Fleetwood Mac has had on the culture of music in general, that it's still, to this day, people are still influenced by them, you know? So I think it's important to tell Fleetwood's story because they actually start in such a different way than how they ended. And that's kind of the story of Fleetwood's whole tenure, is that they changed so much, you know, whether it was members, styles over the years, things kept changing for them, but they kept evolving as well. And it was always interesting to see, you know, what would happen with them as they took a new turn and whatnot. You know, but a lot of people know Fleetwood Mac for during the Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham and Christine McVie years, and a lot of the infighting and in sleeping with each other, needless to say, that was occurring. And although that is a very big part of the band's history, there's actually a lot more, maybe even more tragic history before Stevie Nicks and Lindsey even joined the band. And I definitely want to talk about that from their roots and then how they got to that point. And I think it's fun to go back in time here to Fleetwood Mac's very beginnings, because they were a very different group of at this point in time when they started. So let's get started. So we can trace Fleetwood Mac's roots are very much so in the blues, to simplify it. But where it actually kind of starts is John Mayall, very famous blues musician in Britain, has a group named the Blues Breakers, and also famously had Eric Clapton on his first album as well. And Peter Green ends up on his second album called The Hard Road, and Peter Green is one of the greatest blues guitarists of all time. This is coming from guys like Eric Clapton saying this. And Peter Green was just a very special guitar player, and he was like almost like a prodigy. You know, John Mayall took him on. Peter actually also played previously with Rod Stewart in Shotgun Express, which I found very interesting too, because Rod Stewart also played with Jeff Beck as well. So, you know, Rod was really involved in that scene around that time as well. But Peter Green is also joined in the Blues Breakers by bassist John McVie. But also, Peter knows of a drummer that he suggests to John Mayall, and this drummer's name is Mick Fleetwood. Mick actually, he does get John Mayall to get Mick in, but Mick does only 3 tracks and he's fired because him and John McVie were drinking too much. So that didn't last long, unfortunately. But before that, John Mayall did give Peter Green some free recording time. And so Peter Green took the opportunity to record with Mick and John, and they recorded 5 songs, and one of them is an instrumental called Fleetwood Mac, and that's, you know, really where the name of the band kind of spawned from, was, you know, Mick's last name and John's last name. You know, it was pretty simple, but it worked. So at this point, Peter Green and Mick Fleetwood, they really want to form their own band. But John's really loyal right now to John Mayall. And he's had a long and steady relationship with John Mayall, so he's a little weary about leaving a comfortable situation for himself. But in the meantime, Peter Green and Mick Fleetwood, they decided to team up with a slide guitarist named Jeremy Spencer and a bassist named Bob Brunning. Bob Brunning was basically, he understood that he was a temp. They really wanted John McVie in the group, but Bob understood the situation that he was basically a temp fill-in, whatever you want to call it. But they end up making their debut on stage on August 13th, 1967 at the Windsor Jazz and Blues Festival as Peter Green's Fleetwood Mac, also featuring Jeremy Spencer. A little long, to say the least, but Bob Brunning only played a few gigs with them. And then within weeks of the show, John McVie did finally sign on as the permanent bassist. And they then, as a group, were able to sign to the Blue Horizon label. Mick Fleetwood talks about them being taken to Chicago by the upstart blues label Blue Horizon to record there. And meanwhile, while they're in Chicago, they spend a lot of time with Chicago blues scene guys like JT Brown, who played sax for Elmore James, Willie Dixon, Honey Boy Edwards. These guys were big time influenced by Chicago style blues, and just a lot of, you know, black blues artists. And Mick Fleetwood actually mentions in an article, in an interview, that Peter Green's guitar tone is inspired by Otis Rush. And this is what he had to say in the interview. And he said, well, what happened was a lot of merchant seamen coming in on boats to Liverpool brought all these records that turned all these kids on. And Peter was hanging out with a lot of the English colonial Jamaican, you know, black as the Ace of Spades dudes that were also involved in the military. And they had these records because they used to hang out with the black dudes from the United States forces. So there you go. So these guys were always, their inspiration was old school blues. And that's where Fleetwood Macs really have their roots in their origins from. Their self-titled first album, Peter Green's Fleetwood Mac, comes out in February 1968. It had no singles, but it has 4 blues covers, 2 of them from Elmore James, 1 from Robert Johnson, and 1 from Chester Burnett. And this album really established them as players in the British blues boom. Sorry, can't talk right now. So this was a big album for them. This really put Fleetwood on the Mac in the blues scene at the time. It got really rave reviews from many different outlets. The tracks on it, the side one, I feel, is a little better than side two. Side one, you have Jeremy Spencer written song called My Heart Beat Like a Hammer. It's a really fun little bluesy, classic-y blues song, you know. A lot of the songs that Jeremy Spencer wrote were like this. Unfortunately, his writing was very limited, and this would actually come to play a little later on in the group, because his writing was very limited to basic blues stuff, and he never really evolved as a songwriter. But this is a really cool song, nonetheless. Then the second song, Merry-Go-Round, is written by Peter Green. Decent, pretty good song. Long Gray Mare is also written by Peter Green, and one of my favorite tracks on here. Also, then they do the Robert Johnson cover they do is Hellhound on My Trail, which is awesome. It's a fantastic cover of a blues legend in Robert Johnson, who was a blues player of like the 1930s. And there was rumors that he, you know, there's a big, you know, myth in the music world that he went and down south and sold his soul to be a good guitar player. And they made the movie Crossroads as a kind of a nod to that, to Robert Johnson. And there was also, you know, the song Crossroads was based on Robert Johnson's story as well. And then you also had the next blues cover on here is Shake Your Moneymaker by Elmore James. But Fleetwood's version is really, really good, too. When they usually knocked it out of the park with their blues covers, they just were gigantic fans, and they always delivered on these, it seemed like. And I always enjoyed when they covered old blues artists. The second side is a little okay. I loved Another Woman is probably my favorite on this one. It's a nice little mellow bluesy track that Peter Green wrote. I don't love the second half as much, but it's good. It's good. It's solid. I really do like this album. I like to throw it on when I'm just in a mood to just listen to some pure blood, like, blues. You know, it's just, sometimes it's just a good, you know, blues rock 60s album to throw on, you know, and it's a really good start for these guys. And it really puts them on the map. Something really interesting actually just happened, in regards to this album. The song I'm Coming Home to Stay, this is actually not on the original release of their debut album. This was a bonus track that got put on the 1999 re-release of it, and it's written by Jeremy Spencer. And it actually was recently featured on the show adaptation of The Last of Us, which I found absolutely wild. I mean, not only did they pull a song from early Fleetwood Mac, they pulled a bonus track that wasn't even on the original release of the album, which I find even more astounding, which is credit to those guys on the soundtrack selection. That's pretty amazing work on their part and research. So I just thought that was really neat and very relevant, obviously, to talking about this album. So yeah, the album debut was really good for them. But they also have some more good things happen to them in 1968 as well, because they actually have a couple of really good singles that come out. The first one is going to be the most important, one of the most important songs actually in the band's history, and for a variety of reasons, and that's going to be Black Magic Woman. Now, a lot of people, when you hear Black Magic Woman, Santana is obviously a very first association that you kind of make with that song, which is absolutely not a problem, because, I mean, Carlos Santana's version of Black Magic Woman is incredible, but a lot of people don't realize that's not Carlos's song. It's a great version. Don't get me wrong. I love Carlos's version. It's a different but really cool take. But I do personally love Fleetwood's original version of Black Magic Woman. If you never heard it, please check it out. It's Peter Green is just so perfect. His guitar tone is so perfect and haunting on this track. And it's really a beautiful thing to hear. It's one of the best songs the band has ever made. It stands the test of time. Obviously, you know, Carlos and Santana's, you know, Santana's version really blew it up even further, rightfully so. And I think that's a testament to how well-written that song is that, you know, Carlos was able to do a great version of it too. And it's just still a song that people talk about and are very impacted by still to this day. And they also do a cover of Little Willie John's Need Your Love So Bad. Really, really great version. I think this cover really shows off Peter Green's vocal chops. Peter Green sometimes would resort to just kind of like the yelling, like hard, you know, yelling in like blues, like angry. I don't know how to explain it. I'm trying to have a hard time articulating it, but on this cover, I feel like Peter really lets his vocal chops loose and he just sings, and it's just really beautiful. And his guitar playing on this is also just, again, he has that just beautifully like haunting tone to his guitar that I've never heard quite replicated from anybody else. And I don't know if anybody will ever be able to really quite replicate again. It's a special sound that comes out of Peter's guitar that I don't know. It's something that really, really affects you at your core when you listen to it. Problem is, though, later in 68, they come out with their second album, and it's called Mr. Wonderful. Needless to say, I'm not going to spend too much talking about this album because, quite frankly, it's not very good. This was probably one of Fleetwood's worst records in their entire discography, unfortunately. Sorry, it's horrible to say, but yeah, it's not great. The problem is, one, the production is awful on this album. It's really bad. It sounds like it's recorded in a tin can, essentially. And it's because they mic'd up the amps instead of going through the soundboard. And it's just sounds ridiculous, and it doesn't sound professionally recorded, and it just seems like they kind of ran out of creative steam on this a little bit. They do a really great cover of "Dust My Broom" by Elmore James, Robert Johnson, Elmore James. You know, whatever, you know, they both did versions of that. It's just an old blues song, and they did a great version of that. They did a song called "Stop Messing Around." Peter wrote is the lead song on the album, and it's pretty good too. But the problem is, a lot of these songs start to sound the same, especially once you get to side two. It's just very samey, same riff, same almost everything. You know, it's like the Elmore James riff. They repeat it like 3 or 4 times, I think, on this album. It gets like really old. It's not a Fleetwood album I would really waste a lot of time on. But the one bright side that comes from Mr. Wonderful is that we get the introduction of an up-and-coming keyboardist named Christine Perfect. And I'm sure a lot of you know Christine Perfect, better known as Christine McVie, as she obviously married John McVie later on. She would play, obviously, a gigantic part in the band for the rest of the band's history. And this was an important step here of bringing her in, and it starts to, I really think Christine's introduction really starts making the band think outside the box a little more, and really starts diversifying their sound even further, where they kind of turn a little more from just a pure blues band into like a blues folk fusion, if I could point to it as that. Things start to change, and this is not the only change that begins to happen, we're gonna get yet more additions to the group. But that doesn't come without some problems. I'm going to save this for the next episode. Thank you guys for listening to the first episode of the Fleetwood Mac Retrospective. Looking forward to doing these. So excited to keep this series going and talk about Fleetwood Mac, because they're just such an interesting band.